ان الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد ان سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبد الله تعالى ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى اله واصحابه ومن تبعهم باحسان الى يوم الدين اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وقال تعالى في كتابه العزيز بعد اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليشهدوا منافع لهم ويذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات على ما رزقهم من بهيمة الأنعام فكلوا منها وأطعموا البائس الفقير صدق الله العظيم. All praise and thanks be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is our creator, sustainer and nourisher. May the choicest of his blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread on his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, as we draw closer to the end of Dhul-Qa'dah, the 11th month of the Islamic calendar, and as Dhul-Hijjah is about to dawn on us in just a matter of a few days, in a matter of a day or two, I felt it all the more appropriate to base today's lecture on the significance and the value of the 10 days, of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, due to the utter importance and value attached to these 10 days. But sadly, the fact is that many of us are unaware of the value, the importance of these 10 days. And due to that unawareness, we let these 10 days go past us, just as how any other day from the days of the year would go past. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, it is a known fact that Almighty Allah has not created all of the days of the year equal. All the days are not equal. Likewise, Allah has not created the months of the year equal. Allah has preferred some periods over other periods. Allah has blessed some timings over other timings as a blessing, as a ni'mah upon us. And how is that blessing? The blessing is derived as we get seasons after seasons to do more a'mal, draw ourselves closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these special seasons. Just as how in our day-to-day lives we have seasons, we have sales. We see people flocking to stores when there is a sale. A 50% off, 35% off. Why do the people flock? So that they can benefit by buying valuable items at a discounted price. Likewise, the strong believer, the intelligent believer, the hopeful mu'min is the one who makes use of these seasons that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him with, and does more a'mal, thereby doubling his reward, tripling his reward, and getting closer to Allah the Almighty. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, in regard to months, we see Ramadan as the best of months. In regard to days, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah has been declared as the best days from the days of the year. So let's look at the significance and the virtue of these 10 days as it is in the Quran and the Hadith. Allah Azza wa Jal honored these 10 days by mentioning them in the Noble Quran. The ayah I recited at the beginning, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ. Let them witness the benefits themselves. Let them witness the benefits themselves, and let them mention the name of Allah. Let them remember the name of Allah fi ayyamin ma'lumat, in these known days. And unanimously, the scholars have come to a conclusion that these days are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, which is about to start in a day or two. They are the best of days. عَلَى مَا رَزَقَهُمْ مِنْ بَهِيمَةِ الْأَنْعَامِ. Upon that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed them with from the sacrificial animals. فَكُلُوا مِنْهَا. So eat from it. وَأَطْعِمُوا الْبَائِسَ الْفَقِيرِ. And feed the ones who are the misfortune ones and the ones who are poor, the needy, the destitute. Feed them with it. Allah Azza wa Jal in another place, He has honored these 10 days by swearing on these 10 days. Allah says in the Quran, وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. My dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, a point to be noted here is Allah does not easily promise on something unless it has a great value attached to it. وَالْعَصْر. Allah swears on time. Why? Time is extremely important to mankind. Time is of great value. Time is slipping away. Each second is slipping away. Allah attaches great importance to it by swearing on it. Likewise, Allah swears on wal fajr, by the dawn. Walayalin ashr, and by the 10 nights. And those 10 nights are the 10 nights of Dhul-Hijjah. Now let's move on to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which are many in regard to the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The hadith in Tabarani and Ahmad, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, there is no day more honorable in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sight, and no a'mal more honorable in front of Allah other than the a'mal of those 10 days. There is no day greater than those 10 days, and there are no a'mal greater than the a'mal performed in those 10 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say, so say tahleel, make excessive tahleel. La ilaha illallah. Say excessive la ilaha illallah in these days. Make more takbir. Allahu Akbar. Do more takbir in these days. Make more tahmeed. Alhamdulillah. Praise Allah excessively in these days. You need to do these actions excessively in these 10 days. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said. And in another narration, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu narrates, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one fine day he gathered the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, and this was on the day of Nahr, the 10th day from the days of Dhul-Hijjah, the day where we celebrate Eid. It was on that day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered them and asked them, oh my Sahaba, do you know what day it is today? Do you know what day it is today? Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in reply, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. This is one of the great qualities of the Sahaba. Even if they had the knowledge of something, even if they did have, they never attributed themselves to being all-knowing or I know it already. They used to humble themselves, humiliate themselves in front of Rasulullah and say, Allah and His Messenger know best. So they reply, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked them, oh my Sahaba, do you know what day it is today? They knew what day it is. They knew. If I were to ask you what day it is today, you all would know it. You all would say it's Friday. They knew what day it was. But they said, they confirmed, Allah and His Messenger knows best. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, it is the most forbidden, the most sacred day. Rasulullah goes on to ask, do you know what city this is? Do you know what town this is? Once again they reply, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and His Messenger knows best. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then says, this is the forbidden sacred city of Mecca. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks them, do you know what month this is? They were in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. Okay? So he asked them, do you know what month this is? Once again they reply, Allahu wa Rasuluhu A'lam. Allah and His Messenger know best. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then informs them, this is the forbidden sacred month that you are in. And then Rasulullah goes on to say, oh my Sahaba, no doubt Allah Azza wa Jal has made your blood, your properties, your assets, your wealth, your honor. Allah has made all of this sacred to one another amongst the Muslims. It is sacred to one another just like the sanctity of this day of yours, in this city of yours, in this month of yours. Allahu Akbar. This hadith alone highlights the great value, the great sanctity and importance of the month that we are headed into. And the first 10 days, as Rasulullah was addressing them on Yawm al-Nahr, and he said that that was the most sacred of days. In other narrations, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that all of the a'mal performed in these 10 days is better than any other a'mal. There is no amal from the amal to beat those amal. Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in then asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ya Rasulullah, what about jihad? Jihad is the peak of all amal, the topmost amal. So what about jihad? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to say that the amal performed in these 10 days of Zilhijjah are even better than jihad. Allahu Akbar. I hope this instills a great desire in our hearts to do more a'mal, to do more good deeds. It's better than jihad. The Salafun al-Salih, our pious predecessors, scholars, a'imma, all of them such as Sa'id ibn Jubayr rahimahullah, Sa'id ibn Musayyib rahimahullah, just as how they used to prepare themselves for Ramadan 6 months ahead. Why, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam? They knew the season is coming. Just as how we take stock of our stores, we prepare them for the sales that are coming up ahead. They used to prepare for the seasons of good deeds, for the seasons where they can draw closer to Allah. Just as how they used to prepare 6 months before for Ramadan, they used to prepare for these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And when the days came, they used to exhaust themselves, tire themselves to do the maximum amount of good deeds they can. They used to tire themselves, exhaust themselves so much to the extent that they had no strength to do any more a'mal. To that extent they used to do a'mal and give importance and attach importance to a'mal in the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, he mentions as to why these 10 days are so special is because the mother of all worship is in these 10 days, and that is Hajj. He says that the mother of all worship in these 10 days is in these 10 days. So that is the reason as to why these 10 days have been given so much of speciality and importance. So now a question can arise as to whether these 10 days are better than the last 10 days of Ramadan. A question can arise as I was comparing a hadith of Ramadan and a hadith in regard to the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So a question can arise, are these 10 days better than the 10 days of Ramadan? So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, the scholars differ in regard to this. A few mainstream opinions, and before I go into that, I would like to mention the hadith in regard to that which will shed some light. The hadith is in Tirmidhi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, مَا مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَنْ يَتَعَبَّدَ فِيهَا مِنْ عَشْرِ ذِي الْحِجَّةِ. There is no day more beloved to Allah than a slave of Allah does a'mal in those 10 days. يَعْدِلُ سِيَامُ كُلِّ يَوْمٍ مِّنْهَا بِسُيَامِ صَنَةٍ. If a person were to fast one of those days, one of those 10 days, I'll go on to the speciality of fasting and the importance of fasting in Arafah. But if a person were to fast one day, the equivalent is he gets the reward for fasting one whole year. He gets the reward of fasting one whole year. Hadith goes on, وَقِيَامُ كُلِّ لَيْلَةٍ بِقِيَامِ لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ. Allahu Akbar. Standing up for prayer in one of the nights of Dhul-Hijjah is equivalent to standing up in prayer in Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. So based on this hadith, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, some scholars were of the opinion that yes, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are even better than the 10 days of Ramadan, the last 10 days of Ramadan. Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, very beautifully concludes between both of the ahadith, and he says that in regard to the days, Nahar, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are the best. And in regard to the nights, Layl, in regard to the nights, the last 10 days of Ramadan are the best, due to the last 10 days of Ramadan containing Laylatul Qadr, the night of power. The night which is more valuable than 1,000 months, 83 years and 4 months. Allahu Akbar. So his conclusion was very beautiful in regard to that. So now, as we have discussed the significance and the value of these days, let me mention a few a'mal. We can involve ourselves in these 10 days. We can keep ourselves busy in these 10 days, inshaAllah ta'ala. The first amal I would like to highlight is zikr. Why? Because in the ayah I recited, لِيَشْهَدُوا مَنَافِعَ لَهُمْ وَيَذْكُرُوا اسْمَ اللَّهِ. Let them witness the benefits by themselves and let them remember the name of Allah. Let them mention the name of Allah. The command is right after witnessing the benefits. So zikr is of utter importance here. Abu Hamza Al-Baghdadi rahimahullah, he says that it is impossible for an individual to claim that he loves Allah and he does not involve himself in zikr. His heart is dead. If he claims that he loves Allah, I love Allah. You ask anyone, you, they would say, I love Allah, I love the Rasul of Allah. But he does not involve himself in zikr, that is something impossible. It cannot happen. He goes on to say, and then it is impossible for that individual to involve himself in zikr and then not see the sweetness and then not taste the sweetness of zikr. If a person were to involve himself in zikr, then naturally he has to taste the sweetness of zikr. He goes on to say, and finally, it is impossible that after you have tasted the sweetness of zikr, that you be preoccupied in something else other than Almighty Allah. Once you taste the sweetness of zikr, you would give your whole life in the love of Allah, in the zikr of Allah. This is a statement of Abu Hassan, Abu Hamza al-Baghdadi. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, if you cannot bring yourself to do zikr, if you cannot bring your heart to do the zikr of Almighty Allah, then you are sick. You are sick, you have been afflicted by a spiritual malady, a spiritual disease, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy has begun to grow in your heart. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself confirms the fact, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قاموا كسالى يراؤون الناس ولا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. Allah confirms the fact. Allah says that indeed the hypocrites, they're trying to deceive Allah. وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. But in reality Allah has blinded them. Allah has deceived them. وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ. And when they stand for prayer, they look around, is anybody looking? Is somebody important looking? Then the salah is so perfect. But if not, إِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا كُسَالَى. They stand up for prayer lazily. They stand up for prayer with hatred. They don't love prayer. They're just doing it because we have to get over it. These are the qualities of the hypocrites. And then the point which I wanted to highlight, وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they do not remember Allah except a very little. They do not remember Allah, they do not make zikr of Allah. So this is a quality of the munafiqeen, of the hypocrites. May Almighty Allah save all of us from that. So we need to bring in the love for the zikr of Allah, the remembrance of Almighty Allah, and do more zikr, especially in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, as this is a direct command of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Scholars go on to mention that takbir, as was in the hadith, tahleel, takbir, tahmeed, do excessive dhikr of these. La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Alhamdulillah. Likewise, takbir by itself, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, until the end of the takbir. This has been prescribed for gents, for them to do it loudly. They need to do it openly, whenever they can, throughout the 10 days, from the beginning of the 10 days until 3 days have passed after Eid. It is prescribed for gents to do it loudly after the salawat, whenever they can, when they're walking in the street, in the markets, wherever they are. We need to make takbir of Allah, glorify Allah excessively. And as for the ladies, they need to do it quietly. But likewise, importance is attached to them too. They need to do it throughout the day, 24/7, as much as possible, but quietly. Now we move on to the next amal from the list of amal which we shall, inshallah, involve ourselves with in these 10 days. The next amal of dire importance is fasting. As we saw in the hadith, where one day of fasting is equivalent to the whole year. You get the reward for the whole year. And especially on the ninth day, that is the day of Arafah. Hadith is reported that four things, أَرْبَعٌ لَمْ يَكُنْ يَدَعُهُنَّ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. If I'm not mistaken, Aisha radiallahu anha narrates the hadith. She says that there are four things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never left in his life. Four things. Number one, Ashura. The fasting of Ashura. He never left it in his life. Number two, the fasting of these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. 10 days in the sense you can't fast on the day of Eid. What was meant in the hadith is 9 days until the day of Arafah. It is forbidden to fast on the day of Eid. And fasting 3 days every month. One of the greatest sunnahs of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And 2 raka'at salah before the forenoon. Duha salah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never ever left these 4 a'mal in his lifetime. So from this also we understand, this hadith also highlights the importance of fasting the first 10 days of the Hijjah. Let me give you a few anecdotes of the Salafun as-Salih, pious predecessors. Ibrahim ibn Hani rahimahullah, he was on his deathbed, Sakarat, he was on his deathbed, and he was fasting in the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, one of the 10 days. I think it was the ninth day of Arafah. He was in Sakarat, his deathbed, his throat was parched, he was croaking because he was so thirsty. The people around him, okay, it is a sunnah fast, number one. You are in Sakarat, you're on your deathbed, your life is about to slip away from you in a few seconds, and he is dying for water. It is excused if he breaks his fast, of course. So the people around him offered him water, and you know what he said? My dear brothers who are around me, for a day like this, to be fasting for a day like this and for a death like this, people would die for it. Allahu Akbar. He did not break his fast. He did not break his fast. He kept on asking whether it's time for Maghrib, whether the time of Maghrib has arrived, whether the time of Maghrib has arrived. The time of Maghrib did not arrive, and he passed away whilst he was fasting. Allahu Akbar. Nafisa bint Hassan ibn Zayd, she also was fasting, and she was on her deathbed. Her son offers her food, offers her water. Oh my mother, please break the fast. You are weak, and maybe by that your life will be prolonged. Maybe you will come out of the sakarat. He tells her, and you know what her reply was? Oh my son, how dare you? How dare you try to break my fast? I used to pray to Allah for 30 years. For 30 years that Almighty Allah blesses me with a death whilst I am fasting. Allahu Akbar. And she got a death whilst she was fasting in the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And then you know what happens? The son refrains from offering her water. Malakul Maut arrives and her soul is taken. And what were the words on her mouth? What were the words on her lips? The words of Allah, the words of the Creator. كُلِّ مَمَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. She died reciting this ayah. She was fasting. She did not break her fast. She died reciting the ayah. كُلِّ مَمَّا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ قُلِّ اللَّهِ كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةَ لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. May Almighty Allah bless us all with deaths like this. Say Ameen. So she says, she recites the ayah, قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, for whom is the command? For whom is the seven heavens and the earth? قُلْ لِلَّهِ. Say it is for Allah. Say it is for Allah the Almighty. كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. He has written rahmah on himself. He has decreed rahmah on himself to bestow mercy. لَيَجْمَعَنَّكُمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. And indeed, verily, he will gather all of you all. He will gather all of you all on the day of Qiyamah. Whether your body has been mutilated and your parts are all over the world, he shall gather you on the day of Qiyamah. لَا رَيْبَ فِي. There is no doubt in that. الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. But as for those who have lost themselves, as for those who have disorientated their priorities, they have missed their goal, missed their mark, for whom la yu'minun, they do not believe in Allah the Almighty. So my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, we go on to the next amal, which is sadaqah. The next amal, which a great deal of importance needs to be attached to, sadaqah. As-sadaqatu tutfi'ul balah. Sadaqah is an extinguisher. It extinguishes al-bala, calamities, trials, afflictions that have been decreed to afflict us. As-sadaqah removes them and diverts them away from us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَقْدِرُ لَهُ وَمَا أَنْفَقْتُمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُهُ وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. O Rasulullah, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inform them, Inna Rabbi yabsutu rizqa liman yasha. That indeed my Lord, indeed Allah is the one who extends provision for whoever He wishes. Wa yaqdiru lah. And He is the one who restricts provision from those whom He wishes. Wama anfaqtum min shay'in. Whatever you, but remember, even though Allah expands and restricts, whatever you spend for the sake of Allah, in the path of Allah, sadaqah, charity, all of these things for the masajid, for the madaris, whatever you spend, فَهُوَ يُخْلِفُ, it shall be recompensated back to you manifold. وَهُوَ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. And indeed Allah is the best of providers. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, once he was seated, and the ayah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. The ayah, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, falls on his ears. Someone was reciting it. What is the ayah? You shall never attain piety until you spend from not the old clothes which you have at home, which you have worn out and you want to gift it away, you want to give it off to someone. No. Not from the zakah, which is obligatory on you, which you have to pay. Not from the leftover food after you ordered from an expensive restaurant and the leftover food. Or after the function, oh, the people didn't turn up, now the food is remaining, let's look for people to give sadaqah. Not from that, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Mimma tuhibboon. From what you love. From what you want for yourself. Give out from that. The minute he heard the ayah, he looked around him. What is there to give? He saw a slave girl. One of his slave girls, immediately he freed her in the name of Allah. You know how expensive slaves are at that time? maybe owning an E-class or a C-class today. That's how expensive slaves were. He freed her immediately without thinking twice. That was the love they had for Allah. Umar radiallahu anh, he was seated, he was hungry. Someone brings him a bunch of grapes to eat. He's hungry. Someone knocks the door. A miskin, a faqir, he asked the person who served the grapes, give that whole bunch away. Now the person who served the grapes knew Umar radiallahu anh had not eaten for so many, maybe hours or perhaps the whole day. He knew he was hungry. He goes to that beggar, gives the grapes, because that was the order of the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiallahu anh. He gives the grapes and then buys it back for 1 dirham. Gives him 1 dirham and takes the grapes back. And he comes and lays it back for Umar radiallahu anh. But when they're about to eat, someone knocks the door. He informs him, give it away. The man does the same thing, goes and gives it, then buys it back for 1 dirham. And remember, it was the same beggar. It was the same fakir who came back again second time. He thought, this is a good thing, I can make some money. He came for the second time. Third time, fourth time, fifth time. Until finally this man got angry. The second man, he went to him and asked the miskin, Umar radiallahu anhu, he never lost his temper. He kept on saying, give it away. Look at the test. It's coming to him and going. Coming, going, coming, going. Just imagine someone kept a plate of biryani in front of him and kept on taking it away and keeping and taking while you're really hungry. Finally, this man goes to that beggar and tells, what's wrong with you, man? You keep on coming and going. Why can't you just go away? That man lost his temper, but Umar radiallahu anhu did not lose his temper. Why? He had the love of Allah in his heart. He wanted to spend for Allah, give away for Allah. Give from that which you love. And this is sadaqah, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. We move on quickly to the next amal. Qira'atul Qur'an. Inna Qur'an al-Fajr kana mashhuda. Verily the Qur'an of the Fajr, after Fajr Salah, the time of dawn, will be a witness for you. Qur'an. Today when Qur'an is recited, everybody is looking for the dead body. Someone has passed away. Qur'an is being recited. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu is reported to have said that in our time we find it difficult to memorize the Quran, but it is easy for us to abide by the Quran. We are bringing in the commandments of Allah, but it is difficult to memorize the Quran. But there will be a time when it will be easy to memorize. There will be many huffaz. It will be easy to memorize, but no one will bother abiding by the Quran. No one will bother to follow the commandments of the Quran. No one will bother to refrain from the prohibitions in the Quran. Scholars then go on to say, but sadly we live in a time when neither the Quran is memorized nor are the commandments of Allah being uplifted. Both are not happening. Signs of the day of Qiyamah. We are close to the day of Qiyamah. And then Asma radiallahu anha was once asked about the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. What was their state when they used to listen to the Quran? Many of us, when we come for the Jummah sermon, we fall asleep. We fall asleep. But Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in, when the Quran was recited to them, Asma radiallahu anhu goes on to describe that they used to be in a condition that their hairs used to stand up, shivers used to run through their spine, goosebumps started cropping up on their skin. As Allah describes in the Quran, Allahu nazzala ahsana al-hadith kitaban mutashabihan mathani. مُتَشَابِهًا مَثَانِيَ تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ تَقْشَعِرُّ مِنْهُ جُلُودُ الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ ذلك هدى الله يهدي به من يشاء ومن يضلل الله فما له من هاد. Allah the Almighty is the one who has revealed this statement, the best of statements, أحسن الحديث, the best of narratives. تقشعر منه جلود الَّذِينَ يَخْشَوْنَ رَبَّهُمْ. The ones who fear Allah, the ones who are conscious of Allah, the people of taqwa, the mu'minun, when they hear these ayat, their skin, goosebumps begin to crawl on their skin. Allahu Akbar. Their hearts tremble with the fear of Allah. The rub of Allah attacks their hearts. ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And afterwards their hearts and their skins become softened towards the dhikr of Allah, towards the remembrance of Allah. ذَلِكَ هُدَى اللَّهِ. And that is the guidance of Allah. يَهْدِي بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He guides whom He wishes. وَمَنْ يُضْلِلِ اللَّهِ. And as for the one who Allah sends astray, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ هَادٍ. There will be no one able to guide him back to the straight path. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions abandoning the Quran is of five kinds. Listening of the Quran will be abandoned. Abandoning the halal and the haram, the prohibitions will be abandoned. Nobody will want to follow it. Understanding of the Quran will be abandoned. Returning to the Quran in your disputes and your arguments will be abandoned. And the usage of the Quran as a remedy for your spiritual maladies, depression, discontentment, unhappiness, all of this, the cure is in the Quran, but people will leave it. People will abandon using it as a cure. And there were a few other amal which I wanted to mention, but I'm running out of time. So I'll cap it up with my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam, that we need to finally bring in taqwa. Taqwa of Allah, the fear of Allah needs to come into our hearts. And tawbah, repentance. This is very important. Many of us have lost it, except we remember it only when it comes to the time of Ramadan or the 27th night. That's only the time when we remember Tawbah. A small story and I'll wrap it up. There was once a righteous man. He was very pious, but then people came to him and asked him, please tell us of something, tell us of an event that took place in your life which is very important to you. Then he said, okay, fine, I'll tell you of the story which turned the direction of my life. And then he goes on to narrate saying that I used to be the worst sinner. The righteous man, pious man, maybe a wali of Allah, he's saying, I used to be the worst sinner. I used to commit, you name the sin, I have committed it. I used to commit whatever sin possible. He used to say, I used to commit whatever sin possible. You name the sin, I have committed it. He used to be such a player. And then he says, one day I was walking in the road, on the street, and I saw a beautiful lady. The minute I saw her, my lust and evil desires began to grow in my heart, so I approached her. I approached her to seduce her, and I offered her money so that she would come with me. And when the minute I offered, she came with me. And then when I wanted to approach her, she began trembling like a leaf. She began shivering out of fear. He said, why are you scared? I'm not going to harm you. Why are you trembling like this? Then she said, oh my brother, fear Allah. I have never ever offered my body like this for a monetary gain or for money. But the sad situation of my home is that I have children. I have younger sisters. There is no male support. I am the only breadwinner. And we are starving for days. We do not have money to buy a morsel of food. And that is the only reason that pushed me out to come into a situation like this where I am offering my body to you for money. But still I feel bad about it in front of Allah. The minute she said this, the man, he says, he didn't still turn to Allah, but he felt bad to approach a woman in such a situation and take advantage of her. He felt bad. So he tells her, look, I don't want you. Please go away and take the money that I gave you. The woman goes away. After she goes, he still thinks. And then he goes to his home. He has money, he's rich. So he takes a lot of money which he had and provisions, clothes, all of that, and goes to that lady's house and gives all of that. Here is all of this for the sake of Allah, and he comes back home. And he had a habit of going and informing his mother of everything. So he goes to his mother and proudly tells her, Oh mother, you know what I did today? I did this and this and this. The mother was impressed and she told him, oh my son, I know that you have a book. You have a book where you make record. I have read that book, even though you think that I haven't. I know that you make a record of every sin that you have been committing. He had a trophy book where he used to go and record every sin that he commits, whether it be adultery, robbing, murder, you name the sin, intoxicants. He has recorded with the date and time, you know, I did this, I did this, I did this. It was a proud memorial of his. So she said, this is the first time you have done a good deed. This is the first time you have done a good deed. So go and make record of that in that book of yours, in that evil book of yours. This man goes, he thinks, yeah, that's true, let's do that. And he goes to the book. He takes the book. And now the book was full of his deeds. He opens the book to write his good deed. All the pages are blank. The pages are blank. And one ayah is written. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. That indeed, good deeds delete all of your sins. All of the sins that he had committed. Factory data reset. Formatted. Not one sin was remaining. There was only room for him to write his good deed. This is the rahmah of Allah, my dear respected elders and brothers in Islam. Allah is waiting for us to turn to Him in tawbah, in repentance. He's waiting for that. It is us. We need to take the initiative. We need to take the first step about turn and turn back to Allah. So may Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill all of our hearts with His taqwa. And may He make us all turn in tawbah. May He forgive all of our sins.
For more lectures, visit slhub.com.